welcome to this week's message from Ed Carter, Senior Pastor at Valley Church. Catch up on recent messages and find out what's happening in the life of church by heading to valleychurch.eu or follow us on social media. Enjoy the message.
Well, welcome everybody to the message part of our service. If you're in the room, it's so good to have you. And if you're a guest or visitor, thanks so much for coming. And if you're online or catching up, thanks so much for watching us. I don't know about you, but I was so excited on Monday. I don't know whether you did what we did in our house, which was switch on the telly at 5 o'clock and avidly watch the Prime Minister explain everything he'd kind of announced in the afternoon and figure out what that meant for us. But it looks like June the 21st, we have freedom, everybody. Freedom, hopefully, all soon after that. But I just wanted to encourage you at the start of this message to do something. Over the next few weeks, we're going to be able to go out with somebody to coffee, and then we're going to be able to meet in groups of six, and then coffee shops and restaurants will open, and then we'll eventually be able to meet in groups of 30 outside and six inside, and I think, I want to encourage you, take every opportunity you have to meet up with somebody. There is a lot of lonely people. Perhaps you're not lonely, but there's a lot of lonely people out there who would just love to hang out with you. So why don't you be proactive? Don't wait for somebody else to get in touch with you. Why don't you give them a text, give them a ring, give them a FaceTime, whatever it is, and say, hey, do you want to meet up on a park bench, at a coffee shop outside, at a coffee shop inside? Let's gather a group together and let's make the most of these opportunities as and when they come. And we are looking forward massively as a church to getting back together in due course later in the year. Well, everybody, I am very excited about what I want to share today. I'm going to do it briefly, but before I begin, I want to pray and ask God that he'll come and speak to each one of us, because I'm believing God wants to say something special to you as you listen for the next few minutes. Father, I thank you that you love us and believe in us. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son to die for us, that we may no longer be strangers and foreigners, that we may no longer be far from you, but we can be close to you, we can be your children, we can be part of your family, we can be forgiven. And Father, I pray, God, that each one of us who knows you may open up our hearts and minds, that we may just say, God, speak to us, and we may listen carefully. And Father, I pray for any who don't know you yet, in these next few moments, by the end of this service, that they would say yes to beginning a relationship with you, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, if you're taking notes, and I hope you are, why don't you put at the top of your pad or iPad or whatever you're using, this title, A Closer Walk. A Closer Walk. The joy of being a Christian is we get the opportunity to have a relationship through Jesus Christ with God himself. Because of Jesus' work on the cross, dying on our behalf, we're no longer far from God. We're no longer sinners, rebelling against him. We're actually forgiven, made whole and pure, so we can actually have a fantastic relationship with God that can grow over time. And this is an honor and privilege of every single Christian. If you're a Christ follower, you have the privilege and honor of being able to develop a relationship with God himself. And that is amazing. It should be a wow moment if you are a Christian every time you think about it. I love Hebrews chapter 10. So let's just turn to Hebrews chapter 10. And the writer of Hebrews is very excited, as I am, for what Jesus has done, which means that we can have a relationship with God himself. And this is what the writer of Hebrews says. It says, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, so by what Jesus did on the cross, by his blood, we have confidence. We can go, as it were, boldly into God's presence, not because of our own amazingness or purity, but because of Jesus's amazing purity. But we can have boldness to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. And let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who is promised is faithful to us. The Bible says that we are called children of God, 1 John 3:1, that we are heirs with Christ. And each one of us has an amazing opportunity every single day to get to know God better and better. And I want to encourage you in this season. Well, let's face it, this could be the quietest that some of us are for months and months. Because let's face it, once everything opens up, surely we're going to be out having coffees and meals and parties with absolutely everybody. And we're going to be hugging them. And for those of you who like kissing and all that, we're going to be doing all that stuff. So let's make the most of these last few weeks of really pressing into God with that, maybe the extra time that we have, so that we can have a closer walk with God. Now, it begins by saying yes to having a relationship with Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus yet, if you don't have a relationship with him, at the end of this message, one of the MCs will stand up in the services or online, the MC online pastors will jump up and they will just let you know how you can begin a relationship with Jesus. So it has to begin there, but that relationship is open to absolutely everybody. But once you've just said yes to a relationship with Jesus, you actually still have to do something about developing that relationship. In Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 22, it says, since we are such a great high priest, it says, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart. It says, it's something we have to do. We have to draw near. We have to purposefully do something. It's why I've entitled it a closer walk. It's not a closer sit or a closer stand. It's a closer walk. It's something we have to actively engage in and do something about. Things have to move. Things have to change in our lives if we're going to have a closer relationship with God and with Jesus. There has to be movement and change. And I want to give you, over these next few minutes, and it'll be super quick, so you'll have to, I'm going to give you the titles and a few notes, and then you'll have to go and explore each one yourself. I'm going to give you 6 keys, which I think will help each one of us have a closer walk with God and with Jesus Christ. Now, I just wanted to say, it's an aside almost, before I get into my 6 points, is this. Having a closer relationship with God does not guarantee less suffering in your life. It doesn't work like that. And if you read the Bible all the way through, you'll note some of the greatest saints, the people that did the most for God, actually went through some pretty tough times. Having a closer relationship does not mean that your suffering levels will decrease. And it doesn't necessarily mean that your blessing levels will increase. It might do, but it doesn't necessarily mean so. But what it will do is this. It will mean that you experience more peace, more joy, more contentment, more hope, a greater discernment, more wisdom. You will have the ability to serve and hear God like never before, and so much more. So it won't take away and give you everything you might want, but it will actually answer your heart's desires. I wanted to say that before I begin so that you would understand. So let's crack into these 6 keys that I want to give you. 4 of them are about us giving all that we are to Jesus and to God. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. Jesus is answering a question about summing up the law and the prophets. And he says this in Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, verse 30. 12 verse 30. He says, well, let's begin in verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked, of all the commandments, which is the most important? Jesus replies, the most important one is this. Hear, O Israel, that the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. So 4 of these 6 things are going to be about involving all of who we are. And 2 are going to involve the gifts that we are given when we follow Jesus. In Mark chapter 4, verse 10, the disciples come to Jesus after he's been telling some parables, some stories. And this is the conversation. It says this in Mark 4, verse 10. When he was alone with the 12 and the others around him, they asked him about the parables, and he told them, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, my disciples. If you're a Christian, God has given the secrets to you. But to those on the outside, everything is in parables, so that they may be ever seeing, but never perceiving, and ever hearing, but never understanding. Two of the gifts we have as Christians, we have the gift of seeing and hearing in a spiritual sense. And two of the principles, two of the keys around that, if we're going to have a closer walk with Jesus. Are you ready? This is going to be super fast, so your pens are going to burn. Your fingers are going to whiz over those typing keys. Number one, if we're going to have a closer walk, it involves having more Bible in our heart. More Bible in our heart. Deuteronomy 6, verses 1 to 9. God is encouraging the Israelites to remember the things that he's been saying. And this is what he instructs them to do. And this is great wisdom, even for us, way down the track in the 21st century. So Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. We've just said, these commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road. When you lie down and when you get up, tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Moses instructed the Israelites, and I believe this instruction is you need to get God's words into your heart. Do you know, we have the most precious things and people in our lives close to our heart. I'm married. I've got Michelle. Michelle's close to my heart. I have three children. Jonathan, Tatum, they're close to my heart. I know they're close to my heart because if they're far away, I miss them because they're not with me. And I want to encourage you to consider God's words the same, to have them close to your heart, to make them important to your heart in your life. And there's many ways to do that. Read the Bible and study. But I want to encourage you to do two things, is to read the Bible often. And every time you do, try to remember just one thing. If you can just remember one thing every time you read the Bible, it'd be amazing how much Bible gets lodged in your heart as the weeks, months, years, decades go by. The second key is this. If we're going to have a closer walk, we need to have more obedience in our souls. We need to have more obedience in our souls. John 14, 23 to 25, Jesus says to his disciples these words. John 14, verse 23 to 25, he says this, Jesus replied, if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and we will make our home with him. Obedience in our souls means that God will come and be with us. We'll have a closer walk with him. You see, it's sometimes easy for outside to kind of align with what should be happening. But what God desires is our inner being, our very soul, where our soul and spirit meet, that in there, a decision that we will be obedient to God. Not because we have to, but because we want to. And you might say, well, you know, Pastor Ed, how do I do that? I want to encourage you to spend more time pondering on the cross. Ponder on the cross. Why did the cross have to happen? What part did I play in the fact that Jesus had to die? What love did God show me when he did it? And if you will do that, trust me, eventually your heart will soften. And as your heart softens, you go, I love God and I want to follow him. I want to be obedient to him. Second key is having more obedience in our souls. The third one, if you have a closer walk, is this. It's having more belief in our minds. Having more belief in our minds. So we've done heart, soul, and now mind. More belief in our minds. Romans 12, 1 to 2 talks about us being transformed, our mind being transformed. Philippians 3, which I really like, Philippians 3, verse 17, says this. Philippians 3, verse 17, he says, he said, join with others in following my example. This is the Apostle Paul writing. Brothers, and take note of these, of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I've often told you before, now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach and their glory is in their shame. Their mind, he says, is on earthly things. Their mind is on earthly things. But he says, don't have your mind on earthly things. Rather, have our mind on the citizenship, our citizenship, which is in heaven. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Have our mind on Jesus, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious bodies. We need to have our mind fixed on what Jesus has told us, what the Bible is trying to teach. God's truth needs to be in our minds, needs to be in our heads, and so that that truth is the thing that we live our life by. Not how we feel, not how the situation's panning out, not how others might be telling us we should be feeling, but actually by the truth of God, which is lodged in our minds as a truth that we know. You know, truths like Jesus is with us always by his Holy Spirit. God the Father loves us and thinks that we're amazing. I never get tired of telling somebody, you know, God thinks you are incredible, amazing, with so much potential, and he looks forward to knowing you more and more and welcoming you into heaven. What an amazing truth to live our lives, that we can be effective and powerful because God will equip us for every good work that he gives us. And so many other truths that we need to get in our heads and then live them out. And as we do that, we will draw closer to God and have a closer walk with him. Point four, if we can have a closer walk with God, we need to have more openness of our ears. Our ears need to be more open to hear what God's trying to say to us. More openness, and you go, that's a bit weird. But remember, the spiritual gift is God will open our eyes and our ears to what he's, so that we can hear and see what he's doing. So we need to have a more openness. We need to listen to him more. There's a story in 1 Samuel 3, and a young boy called Samuel is in the temple. He's a servant, adopted kind of son of the temple, somewhere in between that, and he's lying down, and he hears a strange voice one night, and he jumps up and goes and find his master Eli and says, "Eli, Eli, Eli, what do you want?" And Eli says, "I've been sleeping, hearing stuff go back to bed." So Samuel goes back to bed, and then a few minutes later, we don't know how many minutes later, he hears the same voice, and he goes to Eli again, and Eli goes, "Look, go to sleep, stop waking me up, you're annoying," and sends him back to bed again. And then a third time, Samuel hears this voice and goes back to Eli. At this point, the penny drops in Eli, the priest, and says, "Oh, it could be God. In fact, it probably is God. Why don't you go back to sleep?" And in verse 8, he instructs him to go back to bed. And next time he hears the voice, to respond as if it's God speaking. And you get this young lad who, I guess, had never heard God's voice before and was nervous and kind of probably worried, what would God say to him? What would he have to do? That kind of thing. But because he loved God, God was about to open up his ears for the very first time. In one sense, very exciting. And then it says, Samuel went and lay down, 1 Samuel 3, verse 10. Then the Lord came and stood there, calling as of the other time, "Samuel, Samuel." And then Samuel said this, "Speak, for your servant is listening." God wants to speak to you, sometimes by a quiet voice, sometimes by a feeling or a sense, but he wants to speak and guide with you. It's the gift he wants to give every Christian. But you do have to ask. You have to ask him, "God, speak to me, direct me," and then be expecting to hear his voice because he wants to speak to you. You need to be patient. You need to have quiet in your life and make sure there's room in your life to God to speak to you. I've discovered the more I stop and wait patiently, the more God speaks to me. Isn't that surprising? It's like any relationship. If you're really busy and you never meet your friends or your wife, you never talk, you never hear anything from them. It's almost the same with God. So we need to be patient and quiet every day, saying, "God, I'm ready to hear your voice. I'm ready for you to guide me. I'm ready for you to reveal truth to me and wisdom to me in my life, so that I can do and live as you would want me to." The fourth thing, having more openness of my eyes. The fifth thing is more awareness with our eyes. Acts 3, verse 1 to 8, we read the story of Peter and John, and they're going to the temple to worship and to teach, and they come across a cripple. And every time I read this story, I kind of think, why has that guy been there for so long? Because there's kind of the implication, he's been sat at this gate, this same place for a long time. Surely Jesus came past and his other disciples came past. Why this time? That's a good question. But there's no good answer to it. But we read in Acts chapter 3 that this is a cripple's day to get healed. But Peter and John need to be aware, need to have their eyes open to be ready to do something. Fortunately, they are. And we read, as they're going past the Gate of Beautiful, and this crippled man kind of calls out to him. It says this in verse 4. Peter looked straight at him, as did John, and Peter said, "Look at me." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." And taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong, and he jumped, and his feet began to walk. Then he went into the temple courts, and he was leaping and praising God and making a great bigger fuss because of all that God has done. Because Peter and John were aware, and they were using their eyes to try and understand and see what God was doing. This was the crippled man's day of healing, but the people of God, Peter and John, had to be aware of it. And we need to be, I want to encourage you to ask God every day, "God, help me to be aware. Help me to see the world through your eyes today. Help me to be aware of what you want to do. Things that maybe I need to encourage people with, maybe people I need to pray for, or any actions that I need to do. Help me see the people as you see them." Remember, this crippled man was not a Christian. And God sometimes calls us not just to help or encourage Christians, but those who aren't yet in the kingdom. And finally, number 6. If we're going to get closer to God, we need to have more action from our strength. More action physically from our bodies. We need to have more action from ourselves. I just read the story from Acts 3. You know, Peter and John could have said, "Oh, we can heal that cripple today. But we can't be bothered because we're busy. We have to dash off and go to the temple and do some work. Never mind, I know it's your day, but I'm busy, sorry," and walked off. But you see, to get close to God, when God prompts us and opens our eyes and he speaks to us, when he's, we've got scripture in our heart, we've got truth in our mind, we've got the belief and the faith and the spiritual ears and eyes, we need to actually have some action. There should be some results from walking closer to God, and that helps us to get even closer to God. I have a favorite story. If you've known me long enough, you'll have heard this story, but it's just so much fun. I want to finish with this story. And it goes a bit like this. There was a girl, a young woman, who loved God, and she was listening to God, and she could hear God's voice, and she was doing the things I've been talking about. And one day she was on a journey and really felt she should stop at a service station. So she drove into the service station and kind of said, "Well, God, I've stopped. I felt I should stop. What shall I do?" And she felt like God said, "Well, I want you to go in the shop and then come out and do a cartwheel on the way out." And she went, "God, that's ridiculous. Do you know how ridiculous that is? Do you know how embarrassing that is for me to do that? And everybody in there will think I'm stupid. I can't possibly do that." But she said, "But, you know, you sure?" And she really felt like God said, "Yeah, I'm sure you need to go in there, and then on the way out, do a cartwheel." And she was like, "This is crazy." Anyway, it wasn't too busy. You know how you think as a human being? Well, it's kind of look around. It's not too busy. I'll go in and see how busy the shop is. She went in the shop, and there wasn't many people in. There was kind of the shop assistant, obviously the server, and there didn't seem. So she thought, "Well, I guess if God said, I'll get it over with and done with." And so she kind of went in the shop. "I'm not doing a cartwheel, don't worry. I'll kill myself." And on the way out, kind of, the mat that's on the entrance. And on the way out of the shop, she did a cartwheel, and then she's about to leg it, because obviously the shop assistants had watched her. And she's just about to go, and somebody said, "Stop." And she went, "Oh, it's going to be so embarrassing." "Yep, I see you." And he said, "Why do you do that?" And if you're a Christian, you face a choice right at that moment. What do you say? "Oh, I just felt like doing a cartwheel." And so she said, "Well, I know this might sound really bizarre, but I was going down the motorway and I felt like, and I'm a Christian, and I just felt like God had said to stop, and then I was saying, what am I going to stop for? And I felt like God was saying, we need to do a cartwheel coming out of that shop." And I had an argument with God because it was a bit weird. I'm sorry about being weird, a bit weird. And so that's why. Anyway, he said, "That is amazing. I just feel like my life's coming to an end, and I don't know if God exists or not, but I just prayed, literally 5 minutes before you came, And I pray, God, if you will, real, send somebody to do a cartwheel in front of me. Because if that happens, it has to be you, God, because that would be so ridiculous. Who would ever do that in a shop? And I said, you've come in and you've just done a cartwheel and I'm not going to go and kill myself. I need to talk to you about God. And she got a chance to share about Jesus. And you see, if you will draw closer to God, what will happen, church, is you will have opportunities to change people's lives for eternity. You will have opportunities to literally see miracles and healings and just incredible things done through your life. You see, God loves and wants to draw close to you. But we have to, as it were, draw near to him, as Hebrews says, and begin that process. And if you'll do that, your life will never be the same. It'll be so, so much better. So my prayer is this week that your experience with God will go deeper, that God will speak to you as you begin to ask him, and he'll reveal things to you like never before. And the joy and the privilege of being a Christian will be bigger and deeper in your heart. Well, I'm going to hand back to the MCs now. And if you don't know Jesus yet, then this is your time, and they will just explain how to begin that relationship. For the rest of us, why don't you be praying as the MCs share?
Thanks for listening. We hope you've enjoyed this message. If you've been impacted by it and would like to respond by choosing to follow Jesus, we'd love to help you to do that. One of our pastors would love to be in touch with you. Why not email response@valleychurch.eu or head to valleychurch.eu/next-steps to discover more. We're so excited for your future. Be blessed.